All I did was worship. Lord, I will just bow down, and I'm just gonna stay still.
Father, thank you. Thank you for all those that are here today. Thank you for your great blessings in our lives. Father, I pray for a special anointing this morning, Lord, that you would do something great in each and every life here. Father, that these next few moments that we would honor you. In all our ways that we would honor you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, it's a holiday remembering and honoring the people that have fought and served and died for our country. I think in our spoiled life that many of us live now, we don't realize all the sacrifices that was made to have the freedoms that we have today, to have this great country that we have today. And we have our problems as a country, but I still believe it's the greatest nation in the world, and I believe that God has blessed us. And I believe that we forget all that God has done for us. We forget all the lives that have been fought and died for our freedoms today. And then we forget, on top of that, everything that the Lord has done for us. The Bible teaches throughout, the Lord would say, remember, remember, remember. And if you would, open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 9. And we're going to go over a few examples of those times that the Lord called out to remember. And so this morning, it's a message on us remembering all that God has done for us. Genesis 9, verse 8. It says, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. That's very relevant right now with all the flooding going on, right? We know that there's a promise that God is not going to destroy the earth again by floodwaters. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Wherever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. The rainbow is a sign to remember. It says, not only for us to remember, but it's a sign that God sees and that He remembers that He's made this covenant with us. You know, throughout my life, I've done a lot of stupid things. But God has been so good to me. And y'all, sometimes I think that it's important for us to stop and remember all that God has done. Joshua 4, It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These 12 stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. God told them, take these stones out, place them here, and it's a memorial so that you can remember what the Lord has done. Do you guys have any kind of memorials at your house or anything that, you know, to remember? Okay, I've got things at my house and some of them's rocks. And if you guys, some of y'all came over last summer when the kids went swimming, and many of you probably didn't notice, but out in our pool house, we have a vase and it's full of rocks. Those rocks are from Lake Michigan. When the first time the kids ever went, and I picked up these rocks, I brought them home and put in a vase. In our flower beds, we have some crystals. Those crystals are from a field trip when we went to Hot Springs, and we dug them up ourselves. Me and the kids dug them up ourselves, and we had a wonderful time. It's a wonderful memory. And when I see those crystals, I always think of that trip down there at Hot Springs and digging up those crystals. And I do things like that to remember. But then I have some rocks that I know have a meaning, and I don't remember where I got them or why I got them. So I forget some things, you know. But do we do that with God too? Is there things in our life that are a sign to remember what God has done? Is there certain areas, is there certain things that we remember all that God has done? Because I think sometimes we get so busy in life, we get so busy in going that we don't even remember all that God has done and all God is doing with our lives. In this it says, when your children ask, is there things in your life that promote your children asking, Mom, Dad, what does that mean? Why is that there? What is this for? Charles and Grace, one of the things that they did and we saw at their wedding reception was the rope that they intertwined and it's something that's gonna hang up probably in their house, right? And it's a representation, you know, and it was really neat and I thought that's a cool idea. Some people take sand on their wedding day and they pour the sand in, right? To represent their marriage and all that stuff. We had a unity candle and it was blown out and I think we still have the candle someplace though in storage, you know, but you do things. Why? As a memory, to remember things. But how many of us have that for the Lord in our lives, moments and times? You guys may not believe this, but when I was youth minister here at church camp one year, Ed and Evelyn actually prepared them all, but there was little cedars that they cut up, and we had fishing line and nuts and bolts, and they made wind chimes. And some of the kids gave me their wind chimes. They were supposed to give them to their parents. I still have those wind chimes, and I actually have them hanging up in my closet. And when I actually see them, you know, when you see stuff every day and you don't think about it, but when I actually see them, I still pray for those kids that gave them to me. It's a remembrance of that church camp and when they made those wind chimes. And I still pray for those kids that gave them to me. They're not kids anymore. They're adults. How many of us have things in our lives that point to what God has done, all that He has done for us? 1 Corinthians is where we're going to next. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" See, it's not just Old Testament that the Lord set up things to remember, but it's the New Testament too. Whenever we take the bread and drink the wine, the Lord's Supper, that we're supposed to do in remembrance of all that He has done for us, all that He is doing in our lives. And I wonder how many of us we get so busy that we really don't remember. We forget how far God has taken us. We forget all that God has done for us. And it just fades away, and it just fades away. And all at once we're right back to where, oh, this is just how we are. This is just how life is. And it's important to stop, and it's important to remember what God has done. Deuteronomy 6, this is Memorial Day weekend, and so I'm trying to not only encourage you to remember the soldiers that have fought and died for our country, but to just stop and think all that God has blessed you with, all that God has done for you in your life. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 says, "In the future, when your sons ask you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God has commanded you?' Tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that He promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all His decrees and to fear the Lord your God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all His laws before the Lord our God, as He commanded us, that will be our righteousness." Y'all, it says in the future, when your sons ask, what is the meaning? You might say, well, slavery, what are you talking about, Pete? I was born in America. I've never been a slave to anything. But in 2 Peter 2:19, it says, "They promise him freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So this morning, has Jesus Christ set you free from sin, and that having mastery over your body, over your life? See, I can remember not too many years ago on Memorial Day weekend where my goal was to get as much stuff to drink and go to the lake and be out on the lake and get sloppy drunk. That was what I wanted to do. That was a good time for me. That was what I wanted to do Memorial Day weekend. But look what God has done. We've been on a short vacation, and we left last night. Our kids are still there. Why? Because I wanted to be here. I wanted to see what God was going to do this morning. How crazy am I? I went from looking forward to getting sloppy drunk and being on a lake to leaving vacation early to not miss church. Look what God has done. I can remember the stupidity of what I used to be, but how God has brought me out of that into something different, into something more. Y'all, when my kids ask, I don't hide from them. They know what an idiot I was. Sometimes it's important for your kids to see, because you used to be enslaved to this, but now you're something different. Now you're something more. Why? Because Jesus. Because what has the Lord done in your life? And it's important, y'all, not to revel and brag on what you used to be. but for it to just be known, because it lets people see, wow, you're not that person anymore. God's transformed you. I know a lot of y'all's stories, but it's still one of the stories that just, it blows me away. Mike having problems with anger. Mike's the most easygoing guy I've ever met in my life. But part of his testimony is the anger that he used to have. But look what God has done! Have you guys ever seen Mike mad? I've never seen him mad. I've never seen him upset. Look what God has done! Y'all, that's important. That's important because we see God working. We see God transforming. Do we remember how far God has taken us? Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed." This is saying that He's come to set the captives free. Do we remember how God has set us free? Has God set you free this morning? Has God set you free from an addiction, from a drug, from a worry, from anxiety, from anger? Y'all, I can remember my failures too. I can remember how the Lord set me free. But I can remember going back to things that I had no business going back to and allowing them back into my life, and then the battle all over again for freedom. And it's important for me to remember that in my mind so I don't go back. So I don't go back to that and get enslaved once again, where Jesus Christ has set me free. But what's the enemy always doing? He's always coming. He's always bringing. He's always trying to entrap us and to get us to go back to that old life. Jesus set us free. God had set the Israelites free. And it's important, and God, it was important for God to tell them to put markers, to put signs up, so that when your children see it and they ask, "What are those rocks for? What is this for? Why is that there?" You can instruct them, you can teach them, you can tell them about all God has done. Deuteronomy 8. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands." Maybe some of you right now, you're in the middle of a desert. You're in the middle of a struggle. You're in the middle of a storm. Maybe God's testing you. See what's in your heart. See what's in your life. See what's welling up inside of you. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Do we remember how God's met our needs? When we saw no way out, Tim gave testimony this morning of getting a check in the mail this week that he didn't even know was coming. And he needed it, and God blessed him with it. He didn't even know this check was coming, had no idea, and God blessed him with it. How many of y'all have done that? I have. It's been a while, but you know, God knows. God knows when we're in need. But why do we doubt them? Why do we fear? Why do we let the worries of this life come? I wonder if it's oftentimes because we forget all that God has done. We don't remember everything that He has done and how He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. With all these flood waters going on, I thought of Peter and Bridget. How many years ago has it been since y'all was flooded? Five? Six? Six? I don't know how many of y'all remember or not. They're asleep and the floodwaters come in their house. Is that right? And there's nowhere to go. Their house is surrounded by water. Didn't even know. And they gathered together and began to pray, right? And the floodwaters receded. And they were saved. Y'all, that's something that you don't forget. That's life. That's your life is in God's hands at that moment. If the waters continue to rise, it's over. You guys, maybe you hadn't been through an experience like that where it was life or death, and God came through. But y'all, the check in the mail. The neighbor coming over, the text message that you received when you weren't expecting it. You know, a few weeks ago I was feeling kind of down, and Amanda texted me out of the blue something about the message. I needed it. She didn't know it. I needed it. I needed to hear what she said. Yo, you remember those moments. Why? Because it's God. It's God. It's God. And even though it might not be the floodwaters, it could be the text message. It could be the check in the mail. It could be the friend coming over to comfort you. Verse 10 says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He gives you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Are we satisfied today so we forgot? Are we full so we no longer remember all that the Lord has done? Have any of y'all ever been sick? Really bad sick? And you just wish you could feel better? And then when you start feeling better, what do? Wow. You're so thankful, right? But you feel better for 2 or 3 days? And do you think about how good you feel then? No. You don't, really, because you're just feeling good. So all at once it's just, okay, I'm back to normal. And you don't appreciate how good you feel until you start hurting again, until you start feeling bad again. The aches and the pains and the things that come, and you know, and then but when you feel wonderful and you feel great, it's just life then, and you don't appreciate it. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense at all this morning? Did I come home for no reason this morning? Are you guys getting anything this morning? We forget! Till all of a sudden we need God. Till all of a sudden that migraine's back, that backache's back, that sickness of whatever kind is back. And then all at once, oh, Lord! When you eat and you're satisfied and you're blessed, be careful that you do not forget about God. Now, I know I'm not talking to any of y'all this morning because you're all here on a holiday weekend. You're here and you're listening. And so I'm thankful for that. So I know I'm not talking to any of you, but I'm talking to me, okay? Because sometimes I do forget. And I get going throughout my day without gratitude. without being thankful, without appreciating all that God has done. Verse 12, I'm going to go back a little bit. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you out of hard rocks. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirmed His covenant which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. I don't care how successful you are or how least successful you are, everything that we have is because of God. Everything that we have is because of God. Your ability to work hard driving a truck or working in the city or sitting in an office and having the mind to do the things on the computer or to manage a company or whatever your job is this morning. To be a good mom, to be a good dad. Sometimes I look at my life and I just think, wow, Lord, you're amazing. Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve all that you bless me with, all that you're doing. I remember how far God has taken me. I remember the desert and the slavery that I was enslaved to. And I see what God has done. There's a movie, and it's been years and years since I've seen it. And so I don't know if I'm going to get this just right, and I wouldn't recommend any of you going and watching it unless you have it on television, not on the movie, because there was a lot of cussing in it. But the movie was called Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, but it's based on a true story where, and it's been so many years since I've seen it, I can't remember how many brothers were killed at war. With the there was two brothers killed, and there's only four brothers killed. The brothers were killed, okay? There's only one of this family's left. All of his brothers had been killed in war, so they set out to find him. And going to try and find him, many, many soldiers died trying to save this one man. But he was the only son left of this mother. Many soldiers died trying to get to this one. And at the end of the movie, he's standing at the National Cemetery, and he's an old man, and he looks at his wife, and he says, am I a good man? And one of the commanding officers that helped rescue him out of this war, and he didn't want to go once they got to him. He wanted to stay and fight. He didn't want to go. But one of the commanding officers, and like I said, it's been a long time since I've seen the movie, but basically said, make your life count. Make your life matter. Because many died so that you could live. Y'all, we want to honor the soldiers that have fought and died for our country. But more than that, we want to honor our Heavenly Father. We need to be making our lives count. Making our lives matter. Ephesians 4:1 says, As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. To live a life worthy of the calling which you have received. How many of us are living our life each and every day worthy of the calling? Worthy because Jesus Christ died on a cross, took shame in a beating, in a horrible death, so that we might be set free. Are we living a life worthy of the calling? Philippians 1:27 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens, conduct yourself worthy in a manner of the gospel of Christ. I think if we would stop this morning and just remember how far we've come, all that the Lord has done for us, and think, God, may I honor you with the life that I live. There's no better way to honor God than the life that we live. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we come before you now, and I pray that each one of us would remember the deliverance. Remember how far you've taken us. Lord, remember that you're not done with us yet. And Father, that each and every day that we would be mindful of all that you've done and all that you're doing, Lord, and that we would truly strive to live a life worthy of the calling. That we would try to make every day count for the kingdom of God. That we would try to make every day count walking in obedience and submission to your Holy Spirit and listening for your voice. Father, I pray if there's any here this morning that may be still enslaved, is still in captivity, Father, that this would be the day that they would pray for forgiveness of sin. This would be the day that they would understand what you have done on that cross to set the captives free. That this would be the day that they would receive freedom from whatever's got a hold of them. And Father, for all those that have been set free, may we not forget. Lord, when we're blessed and we go home this afternoon and we have our fill at the table, Lord, and we eat and we're satisfied and we have that air conditioning going, and Lord, life just seems so good and easy. May we not forget that there was a price paid. Lord, that you have blessed us. That everything we have is from you, and may we honor you with our words, but more importantly, with the actions of our life, the way that we live our lives. Father, speak to each and every one of us now. May we not forget all that you've done, all that you're doing, in Jesus' mighty name. The universe. Thank you all for being here this morning. I pray that you have a blessed, awesome afternoon. Hopefully you're off work tomorrow and you can enjoy tomorrow off also. And I just encourage you to think about the Lord. All that He's done for you, all that He's doing in your life, all that you're blessed with. If you think you don't have anything to be thankful for, stick around a minute and let me talk to you and maybe I can point a few things out, because all of us have something to be thankful for. Most importantly, Jesus Christ. So have a blessed day.